You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
And I'm Gordy, also known as Lieutenant Retail.
Ah, getting ready.
Gearing up for the holidays.
Strapping in.
Yep. Comes with a military commission and pay grade and the thing you get when you retire.
Retirement?
No.
Pension?
Pension is the word.
Okay.
I have not focused too much on the idea of a pension because I assume I'm never going to get one.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a myth to me. Also, retirement sounds like a myth, so.
You'll work and then someday you'll be dead.
Yes, Lieutenant Retail, let me say, targeted ads have come in real handy over the past week or so, mm-hmm. Keep it up, ad buyers, I appreciate you.
Who you been getting?
Well, I can't say it too loud, because there are recipients nearby.
I'll take my answer off the air then.
I'm just saying, pay attention to those targeted ads.
Uh-huh. So where are we headed?
Oh, we're going to Africa, specifically to the Yoruba tribe, which I should have looked up before this. They're a large tribe, mostly in southwest Nigeria. But we also have other places in West Africa, like Benin, Togo, and Sierra Leone. So large group of people. And they tell a good story. So we're going to be reading...
Well, we'll be the judge of that.
They tell a story that, for our purposes, is good.
Yes, maybe it was recorded in a book already, but we'll decide whether or not it should have been.
Look, how many of your stories are published in a book?
Mine?
Yeah.
Have we written a book yet? We should probably get on that, by the way.
We should. It's been... It's been what, 5 years?
What if we just transcribe the podcast?
That's a book.
Yeah.
Someone will buy that.
People buy copies of Finnegan's Wake. I don't see why they wouldn't buy this.
We have a James Joycean kind of a stream of consciousness thing going on, I'm sure.
What do you have to do? There is a service for rich people, I think. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of those.
Where people someone will fill your bookcases with stuff that just, I don't know, looks interesting and makes you seem cool.
Looks erudite?
Yeah, like books that you maybe don't intend to ever read, but you just, or don't care about, you just want them on your shelf. And like,
the word erudite?
Yeah, what do you need to do to like get in on that package and just sort of be part of that standard, like a standard spot on a shelf?
That is a very good question, and I would very much like the answer to that. And like related to that, how do you get to be part of the art world money laundering scheme?
Is there one?
I mean, that's sort of the theory behind the banana taped to the wall incident,
mm-hmm.
where like a lot of fine art is just like someone values, like a person who is in charge of defining the value of a piece of art, is like, well, this is obviously worth this many millions, and then you purchase it,
and you get a banana on the wall.
Yeah, and it's just a big old money laundering situation.
The
artist only gets like a small amount of that, and then the rest of it, clean money.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
So like. At this point, it's probably to the point where the rich people doing these schemes are just after the thrill more than the money. Like, how deep can we go and get away with it? And the answer was banana taped to a wall. So I don't know.
Before people started to ask questions.
Yeah. But I would like to be in on that. Like, if you're going to do that, you might as well actually support an artist who doesn't need that many millions. Would maybe be happy with, like, 1,000. Like, that's an even better profit margin for you.
How do we get in the book jacket making business? Because then you can own books that you do actually want, but make them appear as though they are smarter than they are.
Ah, like a book disguise. By just wrapping a
jacket around them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Like, on the outside, it says, smartest book ever by E.R. Udite. But on the inside, it's just The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
Pretty thin book for Dr. R. U. Edite to have written.
Well, brevity is the soul of wit. I think that would be an
brevity
artisanal...
is the soul of smart, as they say.
I think that would be like an artisanal business where you are handcrafting like leather book jackets.
Yeah.
With specialty titles to hide the 50 Shades of Grey paperback that is actually on the shelf.
Buy better books.
Well, no, that's what we're trying
just
to avoid.
We want to
buy trash, but dress it up.
I'm in a rare state where I have read almost every book on my bookshelf.
Oh, that is an accomplishment, a feat. Even.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't think I can say the same.
I know I can't. I have like a whole top shelf, double road.
Yeah, you have multiple shelves of books that, or multiple bookshelves. I mean, yeah. I only have the one. And even then, I have not accomplished it.
Yeah, I have bookshelves, and I also have book piles that are like stacked around my bed. And there's a lot of work yet to do. And what am I doing? What am I reading?
Probably that Jane Austen one.
No, I did finish Pride and Prejudice again. It's the other Jane one.
Jane
Wimbus.
Hanoi Jane.
Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre.
Jane Fonda.
Jane Wimbus.
James Fonda. By Jane Austen.
Jane by Jefferson Starship.
Ooh.
Or is it Airplane? Were they Airplane still? I don't remember when they made Jane.
It's Jane Airplane by Jefferson Starship.
I don't remember.
By Jefferson Choo Choo.
Yeah, when you think about it, there are a lot of states of being left for Jefferson
to be.
Yeah, like Airplane and Starship, great options. Jefferson Choo Choo,
pretty good one. I love their shanty album, Jefferson Submarine.
Jefferson Four Wheeler.
That's their country album?
Well, it's just all their X Games tracks.
Hmm.
That's Jefferson Skateboard, obviously.
Jefferson Skateboard is Four Wheeler. I don't know. It's all the songs they did for the XFL. Is that still around?
It wasn't, and then it was, and I'm not sure if it is again or still again. Probably not, the way that things have gone this year. Can't imagine a lot of people are interested
in extreme football.
Yeah, they've been having a hard enough time keeping people coming to the wrestling events, which they are known for. Anyway, fairy tales.
Yeah, that's like just a little tidbit of a ramble in the middle of this, just sometimes in case you forgot what we're about.
Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, so the title of this, which I don't think I got to, is The Wise Dog.
I know a thing or two about dogs.
Do you know a thing or two about wisdom?
Ask our audience.
Can you marry those two concepts into one being?
Only time will tell. I know a thing or two about erudism.
Yeah,
is that close?
That's you're getting in the neighborhood at least.
Okay.
This is from the book Best Loved Folk Tales of the World by Joanna Cole.
How big and red is the dog? That's my barometer.
You're on a Clifford scale of wisdom?
Of dog.
Of dog. Okay. It's unclear, so I think that's something you will have to figure out through the course of the tale.
I'll look for the subtle clues.
Get your Sherlock style hat on.
Mm-hmm. I will release the hounds of Baskerville to help me discover how big and red this dog is.
How big and red are those dogs?
They aren't, which is why they're used for this menial task.
They are a lower class of dog.
That is the caste system of dog.
We see Tyler's wisdom on full display. All right. Are you two ready for an actual story to happen?
I feel like we've given several already, so this is just icing on top at this point.
The bonus story, the one we're actually here to read.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the wise dog. A strange thing once occurred in the country of animals.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
That could point to a big dog.
It's true.
That would be strange, as far as dogs go.
It is unclear if the strange thing is that there was a period of great strife, bitter fights, much hardship, and everything going wrong, or if the strange thing caused a period of great strife, bitter fights, much hardship, and everything going wrong. But either way, it was as though a great curse had descended upon the country of the animals. The king of the animals called a big old meeting to try and figure out what they could do to fix the whole curse problem.
Is it Simba?
The king of animals?
Yeah.
It's Mufasa.
Who's currently the king of animals?
This is,
where in the Disney timeline does this fit?
This is in Mufasa times.
Is this a Bambi dad?
Yeah. But a lion.
Chronologically, is the Lion King before or after Bambi?
Before, surely.
Well, it was produced before, but is the Lion King actually further back in time?
I think so.
We have to analyze the monarchical systems in relation to each other and where we are in like the general.
Well, Bambi, the Bambi monarchy, pretty hands off, I'd say. Pretty absentee from ruling over like their kingdom.
Yeah. So is that like a Queen of Britain sort of situation where the real power is in Parliament in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
So that would suggest that Bambi is chronologically post Lion King.
That makes sense. That's acceptable.
So this is Mufasa or pre-Mufasa times.
Mm-hmm. Pre-Fasa.
Yeah, this is pre-Fasa.
This is father Mufasa's of Mufasa. Dad, pre-Fasa.
So yeah, they call a big old meeting because they're basically having a 2020, and they need to solve it somehow.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Why wasn't Simba's name Mufasa?
Maybe he has, like, an older brother who was also banished. That'll be what Simba, or Lion King 4 is about.
Awesome. I can't wait to meet Mufasa.
Disney, you can have us on retainer.
Can I circle back? To
we're on point two of this, but yeah, let's go
to an idea that we talked about some time ago.
Sure.
Which is how Disney titles are really bad.
Yeah,
half of them are just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the name, like Aladdin.
Yep,
that's just a guy.
That's just a guy. He's in it.
Yep.
Half of them are just the name of the guy or the
Bambi or Dumbo.
Bambi, Dumbo, Cinderella, Snow White, just people.
Just people.
Just people. Why, like, I was
going to...
There's
no indication of what they do, what they're about.
I was going to say, what if Star Wars was called Luke, but it was almost The Adventures of Luke Starkiller, so that's not too far off.
So you're saying that's good or bad? Where do you fall? Or you're just noticing?
I'm saying I would feel really lazy if I just named my story after, like, the main character.
But you seemed to not like The Adventures of Luke Starkiller. So that's not far enough away from just a guy?
Well, it...
Because it does still feature said guy.
It features the guy, but it tells me something about the guy.
Adventurous.
Yeah, he's going to do an adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The just a guy titles do sort of reflect the myopic nature of those stories. Whereas something like Star Wars opens you up to exploring the lives of multiple characters. So I think it just kind of depends on what kind of story you're telling. Are you telling it through the lens of a single person?
Before we get back to reading this story, since we haven't even started it, what is the best Disney title? Is it Beauty and the Beast? Because that's two people.
Disney,
how do we feel fullest. how do we feel about Brother Bear? Because that's just a guy, but that's not his name. It is descriptive of what he is.
Yeah, it's either just like, here's the main guy that's in it, or it's one, like the princess and the frog.
Two of them.
Treasure Planet.
I mean
The Emperor's New Groove.
A descriptive title.
Is a good one. That it's tells
evocative.
Me, yeah, it tells me anything.
It puts you in the right mindset for watching the movie.
Yeah,
you get the genre
expectations
that they're going for, which is to say groovy.
It does. The Fox and the Hound,
two
Lady
guys.
And the Tramp, Lilo
two
and
piece?
Stitch.
Yeah.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, The Guy and Where He Lives. 101 Dalmatians. Here's a bunch of fucking dogs. But other than that, nothing.
I guess by my metric, 101 Dalmatians is best, because that's 101 of the people in it.
It's a list of like characters. The Aristocats is okay, I guess.
It's not any of the cats, but like, it sort of tells us a little bit about it. But the Emperor's New Groove gives us a lot. The Jungle Book is maybe, I think the Jungle Book might be the weakest title
because it isn't. It's a movie.
It's a movie.
It was a book.
It was a book.
You know what? Fantasia.
Pretty good.
Fantasia is a good title.
Evocative.
Yeah. Interesting word. I don't see that very often. What's it about? Fantasy something.
I do have to admit that I adore The Guy in the Place He Lives as a title for something.
Like George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Fantasia is evocative. I think Emperor's New Groove is the most successful title.
Yeah.
I would rank that a little higher than Fantasia, just because it gives us actual information and sets expectations.
Yes.
And The Jungle Book is just a lame lie of a title for the film that it represents.
What about Pete's Dragon? Because that's not the guy. It's what the guy professes to own.
Pete's Dragon?
Well, the dragon's the guy in that situation. He just doesn't get a name. And then you have things like Atlantis and Treasure Planet, which is the place we're going.
Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
I rewatched that a couple weeks ago because I had a dream about it.
I just chose the wrong time to take a sip of water.
But I had a dream about it, and I was thinking, like, it had been on my mind for some reason. It's just like, I used to watch this all the time, and I haven't seen it in, I don't know, 15, 20 years or so. And so I checked it out. Still good.
Yeah? How's the title, though?
I mean, it does feature both. Well, okay. I'm scaling back on it because it now sounds like somebody just sitting at a desk kind of casting their eyes around for like any objects.
What they can find.
Like, right? I don't know. I skimmed through this at like 20x speed and I saw these two items in the movie. So why not that?
What about The Rescuers?
Fine.
It's better than just the guy. It's
what about like The Rescuers Down Under?
Great.
That's the organization and the place.
Mm-hmm. I think something like The Rescuers subverts my issue with modern Disney by adding in the.
Right. So if it was The
just,
Frozen.
Right. If it was The Frozen or The Tangled, I would love it.
The Tangled sounds like.
If it was The Up.
The, The Tangled sounds like it's some kind of, I don't know, like
spooky
evil
forest.
Yeah, evil something in an anime. And they call it The Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
Or a young adult science fiction terrible series.
It is evocative of a certain level of creepitude.
The Frozen, like, is just like a creepy guy that Solid Snake fights.
So we basically like the because it adds a certain layer of like
creepiness,
mystique, and creep to the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Up sounds like what you would find in a science fiction novel where they are referring to something strange in the sky.
You can't even explain what it is because it's strange. It's just
it's
the
just
Up.
The Up. Yeah, it's above us,
almost like the Upside Down from that show.
Pretty close. Yeah. I guess that's what we are to the Upside Down. We're just the up.
Yeah, we're just the right side up.
So anyway,
that was Ramble 2.
We're in a period of great strife. It's basically 2020 in the country of animals, and the king of animals calls a meeting to figure out how to stop 2020 from happening to mm-hmm. them.
Who is Mufasa's dad?
Yeah, pre-Fossa. All the animals agree that something had to be fixed, but what they were going to do was a source of a significant amount of arguing, which we can relate to. Many suggestions were made. No conclusions were reached. Also something we can relate to. Until somebody, and nobody afterward could say who, said, "Hey guys, you know our troubles can be traced back to our early youth. And if anyone's to be blamed, it's mom. It's all of our moms."
Yeah, that's what I do.
So all of our hardships, ultimately, are the fault of mothers.
Yes. Look at your failings, everyone listening. It is your mom's fault.
Mothers brought them into the world. They raised them. They interfered with them in all the days of their youth. Don't touch that stove. Don't walk alone at night. Don't go out dressed like that, whatever.
Don't smoke a doobies.
Don't jump off the top bunk of a bed.
All you monkeys.
And it had basically just been a handicap for them their entire lives.
We should just send all of our moms to Mars. Like that one Disney movie.
Was that a Disney movie?
Technically.
They're ashamed of that because that didn't show up in the list. So the idea spread like bushfire in the dry season that all the animals needed to just kill their moms. Solve the whole shebang. And that'll punish mothers for their misfortunes and also appease the gods.
This feels like a ... prophet sort of plan. It's a step, a nebulous step between kill all the moms and everything is better.
Right. There's also a lot of logistical concerns in the execution of this plan because all of the animals are like responsible for their own mom,
mm-hmm.
which means there's some moms that have to take out a mom, and there's some schedule planning involved here.
Yeah, it's almost like loopering at that point. Yeah. One mom's got to take care of her mom before their kid can take care of her.
Yeah, like it's a logistical nightmare that requires even the moms to be kind of on board with this. It's like, yeah.
Can it just be a free-for-all, and in some cases grandmas get off lucky because they're no longer moms?
I don't know. The animals are screaming this plan in the story, all in unison. So
that sounds right. That sounds like it's 2020.
So only one of the animals in the entire animal country was like, "Whoa, guys, what?" And this was Dog. Dog greatly respected his mother, and he was both wise enough to avoid getting carried away with this dipshit plan, screaming, "Kill the moms!"
Greatly sounds pretty big to me. Greatly is a word that you use to describe big things. Just saying.
Well, there's clue one.
Mm-hmm. Well, clue two, because there was also the mysterious thing that happened that right. made everything terrible, which could or could not be the birth of a giant dog.
I forget how loosey-goosey you are with the term clue.
with terms like clue and evidence.
I mean, it really just means willingness to believe.
He is also intelligent enough to know that there's not a lot of point standing up to this particular shitstorm of stupid that is surrounding him. Like, it's got a lot of momentum behind it, and also a lot of animals, including probably a significant number of moms who are all for this. So he just quietly acquiesces, and the great slaughter of mothers commenced in the animal kingdom.
Slobbers?
Slaughter. The great slaughter of mothers.
It's too late for that.
The mom purge.
Yeah.
the purge all moms edition.
It's the purge oops all moms.
So Dog, fearing that just hiding his mom might result in both of them getting found out and killed, just decides to send her on to heaven. I suppose this means in a different way than the wholesale slaughter in which everyone else is managing this feat.
I suppose that he thinks of it differently, but it sounds like it's the same. Which is a dead mom.
Well, his mother's grateful to him for her son's kindness, and before she leaves for heaven, she does
There's that word again, great, to describe this dog.
It's spelled differently, though.
Didn't sound like it was.
So before she left for heaven, she told him that if he was ever in trouble or needed anything, he just had to sing a little song to call on her. So this is basically like an inverse of mom sending the kid off to college. And like, just call if you need anything.
You send the mom off to heaven and give her a burner.
Yeah. So soon the animals figured out that a whole bunch of mom murders really didn't solve any of their problems.
Weird. That's that nebulous ... period that I was worried about.
And in fact, the next season involved a terrible famine. Water holes dried up, there was no meat, all the crops failed, and many animals were dead from starvation. So we just have a bigger pile of corpses to deal with. Although, this is the animal kingdom, so the no meat problem seems like it's solving itself here. But what am I to say? Dog remembered his mom's word, and he sang a song asking her to send down her cord to take him up to heaven and feed him and maybe do his laundry while he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you do when you call home, when you just need something.
For his enormous pairs of pants.
So a cord descended from heaven with a tiny bench tied to it.
That's not gonna work. It needs to be much bigger.
And the dog sat down on the tiny bench and got pulled up through the clouds to heaven.
What do you call evidence and clues that are bad? that make you sad because you're wrong? Because I'm picking up a few of those right now.
I think you still call them evidence or clues if you're on the, like, on the not shady side of the law. And I think you call them, whoops, shredded paper if
yeah,
you're
second
on the wrong side.
Follow-up question. What's it going to take to get rid of these clues?
Yeah, so he gets up there. She gives him a feast and does all she can to make him happy. And then in the evening, she lets him back down into the starving country of the animals. So it is 100% like just going home from college for a little bit. Like, on Thanksgiving break or whatever. So every day during the famine, this ritual would repeat until one day the tortoise, who was a friend of Dog's, asked him, "Hey, I noticed you're not starving to death like all the rest of us, so what's with that?" So Dog does a quick calculation. He's afraid that tortoise is going to start like gossiping to other animals about why he's not hungry or starving, and someone who is maybe a little bit more dangerously persuasive might come around and,
"Hey tortoise, worry about your own damn self,"
and question these things. So he decides, "All right, well, tortoise is my friend. I'll let him in on the secret so that he is satisfied and doesn't go talking to anyone." He makes tortoise promise never to tell a single soul what he's about to experience, and tortoise makes the promise, and like most people making such a promise, probably intended to keep it, but is just sort of lazy about the ideals there. Like, in the moment, you mean well. Come sunrise, tortoise came to the place where the dog got benched up to heaven, as he was instructed, and both of them got on the tiny bench, hauled up through the clouds, and fed a great feast.
That's even more evidence of wrongness, if two things can fit on a tiny bench. This dog is mouse-sized.
It's Freybug sized. Freybug could share a small bench with a tortoise.
Yeah, probably.
A few days later, the tortoise visited the king of the animals, and he asked for a word in private. Pre-Fossa rose from his throne, motioned all the others to leave them alone, and was like, hey, what's up? So Tortoise whispered to Pre-Fossa that he had just come from a place with no famine and a lot of food. And Lion's like, oh man, where is this place? I have not had a good meal in days, and I am beginning just now to hate this cursed country. Just, this is the last straw. Just a couple hungry days. It was great till then. And Tortoise says, well, Pre-Fossa, if you're willing to advance my position and interest in your kingdom, I will tell you how we get there. He's getting a little social leverage here. King says, yeah, sure, that sounds great. Just don't tell anyone. Keep this a secret. And the tortoise is like, you got it. So he arranges for the king to meet at the same bench spot at sunrise. The tortoise waited for the king and was annoyed when Pre-Fossa showed up, not alone, but had with him his favorite wife, future mother of Mufasa, and all of his personal friends and followers. I'm not sure where the like line is between friends and followers and rest of kingdom.
Yeah, who's at the cutoff?
Yeah, I don't know. So Tortoise is like, well, shit. There's nothing I can do about this now. Even if I only take the king up, everyone else is going to witness what happens. So whoops, I done fucked up pretty big. So the tortoise sings the dog song, the bench drops down, and the king's like, hey, how's my whole party supposed to sit on this tiny bench that is not the size of a Clifford? And the tortoise says, they're not. There's only room for the two of us. Read the subtext, my dude. And the king's like, yeah, cool, whatevs. I don't care. And he throws himself onto the bench, leaving tortoise to squeeze onto it with great difficulty. So the dog is definitely smaller than a lion.
God damn it.
It's not looking good.
So the lion's favorite wife and all of the followers were not all cool whatevs with this this new development, and they all jumped up onto the rope, clamoring for a spot. So while the lion and the tortoise roared at them to let it go, the starving animals clung with grim determination, some clutching onto the cord, others hanging off the tails of the other animals, others clinging to the mane of the lion, and a few others sitting on top of the tortoise.
You know, I don't want to get morbid or nothing, but there's a faster way for these animals to get to heaven.
It's also a faster way for them to eat. Like, yeah. There are a lot of dead animals around. It's a lot of wasted meat. Anyway, this twisting, wriggling mass of angry, shouting animals slowly ascended into the sky. The dog's mother is like, this seems weird. Something's wrong here. This is both heavier and a lot wigglier and a lot shoutier than I usually haul up. So she peers through the clouds down at what's going on, and she's like, ah, hell no. All these people are coming to kill me. So she grabs the large knife and she cuts the cord, dropping all of the animals to their deaths, except the tortoise, who does have sort of an armor situation going on. So other animals who did not make the follower cutoff for Pre-Fossa come running from a nearby village to investigate the very loud crashing sound, and they discover all the animals except the tortoise were dead, including their king. The tortoise is taken to town to answer for the king's death, and he tells the whole story, but no one believes him about a cord dropping from heaven and feeding them all, so they take him to the spot where the king died and beheaded him for his supposed crimes.
Hmm.
And I was expecting a little, like, tongue-in-cheek tortoise retracting its head into the shell situation here, but no, this tortoise dead.
Definitively deceased, yeah.
Yeah. So the dog went back to sing to his mom for snacks, but no cord is let down since it got cut. And so the dog was never able to visit heaven again, and this is why none dogs go to heaven. At the beginning of that Don Bluth film. I don't remember the plot of that. I might have gotten that backwards. As the famine continued, the dog took off to the country of man because they had snacks.
Yeah, we sure do.
And ever since that time, dog has relied on man to feed him and has presumably sat at man's feet making quiet whining noises during the entirety of their meals.
That sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't it? Many men and animals have spent their lives wondering how Dog was able to send his mother to heaven. A lot of them, whole lives dedicated to this puzzle. Ourselves among them, I'm sure. Some suggested that he killed her.
That stands to reason.
And others believe that someone already up in heaven just let down the cord at his request. A little bit of plot holes involved there, but...
Grandma Dog.
Yeah. Grand Dog.
Grand Dog.
Grand Dog.
She was a true Clifford. And they just got smaller from there.
Yeah, the Grand Dog in the sky. Big and alas, red and has a little nightcap on and little spectacles.
Yes. That was an illustration from the one of those books, right? Wasn't it?
A giant dead grandma dog.
Not a dead grandma dog. I just recall a Clifford in a nightcap.
Maybe.
Illustration. But I could be making that up. Alas, we will never know the answer to whether Dog did a murder or a boost, because Dog is not going to share any of this story again after such shitty results the first time.
Says you. I'm going to ask Freybug when we're done.
All right, well, we're done now, so
and she's going to spill it. She's going to squeal easy. She is not ready for the interrogation that's coming her way.
That's probably true. She is also very quick to speak about a multitude of subjects.
And also flip over and give up.
Yeah. And she does make a lot of pig noises, so squealing might indeed be one of them. Most of them are like little pig snuffles and grunts, but I'm sure squealing's in the mix.
All right, well, I'm going to play the break music, and when we come back, I'm going to let everybody know what I learned.
Okay.
Rocket ship.
Rocket ship?
Rocket ship. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
That checks out.
Yeah, I forgot about the tiny bench, and I was originally going to, like, throw you a bone there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just...
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
And say, like, maybe the dog is so tall that he just, like, stands up and his mom can just hop up into heaven. But that doesn't track.
So. Heaven, in this case, is the moon.
Of course, yeah. It is past the clouds, and mm-hmm. it is made of cheese.
Yep.
So there's a lot of food up there. It's all cheese.
For a mom dog.
Yeah. And if I know moms, and I know one, my mom.
You know one? Just the one?
Just a singular mother.
Never met another mom.
Not in my life. She does love cheese.
There's those clues we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, we've pieced it all together and solved the puzzle. Mom's on the moon.
Rocket ship.
Yeah, a rocket ship. Serving up a lot of cheese.
Thanks, Freybug.
Why?
What do you mean, why? You just heard the whole story.
That's why, because everyone was dying. Answer. So yeah, Dog built the rocket ship to the moon.
But I didn't get to go.
Well, Gordy, maybe you should be a mom next time.
I'll certainly look into the possibility.
Or send your mom to the moon with a cord and a bench so that she can drag you up there.
With a big rocket ship. You saw that one guy, how he built his?
Yeah, just do that.
You just gotta do that, but a little bit better.
Like, do that with, like, good dog energy.
A little more math than he had.
Remember Balloon?
Freybug is always trying to get to the moon, though.
Remember Balloon Boy?
I do.
I don't think we talk about Balloon Boy enough.
What is enough?
Well, I mean, the problem was that the boy wasn't in it.
Yeah. It was a fib.
And that makes it, it really changes the calculus on what enough is.
Disney got obsessed with it.
Made a whole movie about it.
What if the boy was a man?
What if the boy was an old man?
It was an old man.
And he fought an ancient man.
He fought an even older man in the sky. What a movie. Anyway, this story sucked. Why is it in that book?
It's best loved by somebody. Presumably Freybug, who wants to go to the moon.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
She's She doesn't beg for a lot of food, but she does consistently beg for the spicy foods.
Rocket fuel.
Yeah, she wants her butt to be the rocket.
It's like a game of telephone that's been played through dogs over the eons that they have existed.
Yeah.
They know that they want to go to the moon, and they know that rocket fuel is involved somehow. They've just forgotten the specifics.
And much like how the mighty wolf has become our short, large-eared dog whose tongue is too big for her mouth.
Mm-hmm. Who just wants to go meet her great-great-granddog on the moon.
Yeah. The idea, too, has diminished in scope to eat spicy food.
Poop all day.
Question mark, question mark, question mark, moon. So yeah, that's why we have dogs, I guess.
Yep.
Because of a mom purge. Alright. Any parting thoughts for this sadly devoid of Clifford's story about a dog?
What would the Disney title be?
A dog and his rocket ship.
So that's like,
not the Disney title.
That's the classic Disney title.
Classic Disney title.
The modern Disney title would just be Mom.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or Bench.
I mean, some like in the case of Tangled and Frozen, it's an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of describes, I don't know, the story, the
hungry,
dead,
hard, sad and bad,
long, like the cord.
Wait, what?
Benched,
long, like the what?
Like the cord to heaven.
Oh yes, every movie title should include the runtime in it. or at least sort of an indication of what that runtime is going to be. Like Finding Nemo regular.
Mm-hmm.
What if they call it Benched?
That would be the modern Disney title.
And then it also, yeah, like in order to like fluff this out to a full film runtime, it starts pulling in like metaphors of being benched on a sports team.
Sure.
Just, like, running that theme through. Anyway, Disney, you can hire us at any point to just be on retainer spewing out ideas for your next hit films.
This is called Punch Up.
We're a three-person's writer's room, and we can handle your next film. Alright, anything else?
I feel complete.
You are fulfilled.
At least when it comes to this story.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to this tale of starvation and puppies and benches and pre-fossa. Thank you to all of our patrons who have kept our lives fascinating and full of good creepy memes and pictures of frogs and repose. Just off the top of my head. Thank you to everyone who has been following us on Twitter or tweeting about the show or sending messages. We always appreciate hearing from you. And thank you to our top tier patrons. Lily, Becca, your friendly neighborhood swamp witch, Kelly, Anaphylactic Shock, Katarina, Tasmanian Tiger, Kula, Funky Little Strawberry, Help, Rachel, I'm Trapped in a Podcast, Lemur, Spag Ghosts, Coast to Coast, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, Soapy Faye, Olwen, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Baby Ant Killing Bees, Cobus Cat, Lisa, Versus Me 101, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Kelty, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Nell is Sexually Undead, Dave, Maya, Grace, Bus Devotee, High Listus of Wimbus, Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Jeremiah, Lily, who needs to decide what she will extort, Izzy, Heather, High Meality of the Cult of Cricket, and Nuisance of the Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.